Welcome to the Bitcoin Nova. Today I'm here with Max, who goes by Quantum Rides on X. We're going to be talking about how Bitcoiners are the new settlers of new communities in the future, and we're going to be talking about how Bitcoin is the industrial information revolution, and a little bit of astrology and a little bit of metaphysics, and so many mind-blowing moments. Thank you for joining us. Here's Max.
And this was a big thing when I joined Bitcoin. 2 billion people don't have a bank account, you know, right. Don't have any savings. And that's because every money they make, they have to use to provide for their family. But What if the money they make can out earn and outpace their cost of living? Mm-hmm. And when we talk about like Bitcoin and AI in the future, that's the thing I'm most excited about, is that your cost of living is going to go down. Your savings is going to go up. Mm-hmm. And then how do we value Bitcoin? Well, if you don't invest in Bitcoin, you treat it like a meme coin. You treat it like a, you know, something to gain wealth quickly. If you just started investing in Bitcoin, you're probably treating it like your 401k. And then if you've been in Bitcoin for a while, you treat it as your savings, right? And, you know, Michelle was asking this on a Spaces earlier while I was looking it up. I think we're on the same mind sometimes.
Yeah.
But how do you value the market cap of Bitcoin? Well, total savings of the world is 186 trillion.
Oh, yeah.
So we could still 90x Bitcoin if people just realize that this is the best tool for savings that's ever been created. Mm-hmm. And that's where I feel like we're going to 100% go, is we don't need savings. We need Bitcoin.
Right.
But then the next piece is, okay, is Bitcoin a savings tool, or are we going to start using it as a tool to transact?
Well, I think both.
A utility, like, for payments.
I think people always have that debate about, is Bitcoin, are you just going to hold it forever till you know, because people say, I'm never going to spend it. I'm never going to sell it. But I think that it's just like, if it's an electronic cash, just like peer-to-peer, just like how you'd give someone a tip with cash, it's an electronic version of that that's you could do across vast distances. You don't need any, you don't have to be right there to hand it in your hand. But just like how people used to, when cash was based off of gold, it had the gold standard and it was actually valuable and didn't decrease in value. It actually, you were able to save money back then. So if it was like that, if it's a digital cash, people were able to spend cash and also save the cash, and it would grow over time, you know, the value of it. Mm-hmm. But it's like now, yeah, just like in Nigeria, how they're spending it because they have to convert all their life to Bitcoin to actually, you know, not keep losing. So they're, whatever they're not spending is growing in savings, you know? So it's like they're spending what they need to spend, and the rest is sitting there and just growing. It's just the whole mentality. It's like how when you go on a diet and people say, well, I'm on a diet. It's like, no, this is a life change, you know?
It's a lifestyle. Yeah,
right.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think I agree. It's like it's a mindset versus, you know, a reality of, you know, never selling your Bitcoin, because everyone has different financial situation. And, you know, your financial advisor, the first thing they're going to say, they're not going to look at your income. They're going to look at your expenses.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting how Bitcoin has caused me to change how I spend, because, you know, once I've gone, you know, as full as I can into Bitcoin, now I'm thinking, do I really need to spend that if that money is going to be worth 5 or 10 times more in one cycle?
Mm-hmm.
You know, do I really need to spend that? And so I think, again, you know, Bitcoin has been so foundational for me and hopefully transformational for the community that gets involved, you know, with it, which is ideally a large part of the world, because it causes you to rethink. It just made me think about, you know, you don't look at the price of a dollar every day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what is the price of a dollar versus a Canadian?
Mm-hmm.
And so I think when people get to that point where you don't look at the price of Bitcoin, now you're at that, I'd say you're like fully committed into it, where you don't, it doesn't matter what the price is.
I'm past all those emotional levels. Now I'm up here, you know, so you're thinking,
vibrating at a higher frequency. Yeah.
Yeah. So you're at the highest frequency at that point. You're saying, I don't care, you know, because none of that matters. You know, so it's like you're just, you're above it all sort of, and you don't, it doesn't bother you, like all that stuff. So, because you just know long term what this thing is. And in terms of fiat, when fiat keeps failing, it's like they say that Bitcoin's price technically doesn't go up, the dollar is being destroyed. You just need a lot more dollars to buy
it. This goes back to finance, right?
Yeah.
You can't value anything on its own, everything is relative.
Mm-hmm.
So, I think it's both, you know, Bitcoin's going up and the dollar's going down. But, you know, with different presidents are going to, you know, ultimately we were probably a year away from a collapse in the US economy, like a mega collapse. The Fed raised or lowered interest rates, and the 10-year yield went up. And people don't realize how scary that is. If if you're not into like bond
I'm
yields,
not gonna
but
lie. I'm not gonna lie. I don't really understand it either myself, but I know it's not good. So,
so a quick, just 1 minute, like overview of that. The 10-year is what you pay, what the government pays you for to hold to buy our debt.
Oh,
You know,
yes. Okay.
we're gonna buy U.S. Treasuries, and we're gonna get paid 4% to hold it for 10 years. The Fed lowered the rates, and the 10-year yield went up, which is basically the market saying we have no trust in the U.S. dollar, in the U.S. debt. That even though you're lowering the entire market's ability to lend at lower rates, which makes it easier to lend, we're going to charge the United States more. And that happened right before the election. If we had gotten a different election, we were a year away from total collapse because
Oh, that
there's
happened
no positive outlook.
this past year it happened.
Yeah, that happened in like September or October.
Yeah, so see,
And
thank you for pointing that out because I understand bonds and treasuries, and I understand that that's US debt and that people are losing trust in US debt, but I didn't realize that situation right before the elections, and that could have been catastrophic.
yeah, and I mean, it still could be, but I mean, what Doge is doing has look if you look at the 10 years since Doge started, I mean, it's dropped dramatically, and basically people are saying, okay, we trust your money more now.
That's good.
But I'm so excited because, you know, it doesn't matter with Bitcoin. If you're on the Bitcoin lifeboat, you know, you're on the right boat,
It's just
and
still
that's the
interesting to
thing
watch it
I'm so
play out.
excited about.
Yeah,
It
you're
is, and it's scary. I mean, being a US citizen, and because you could be on the Bitcoin lifeboat, but if you lose your fiat mining job, you know, you're still going to have some issues. With AI coming and with Bitcoin, the cost of producing goods is going to drop tremendously. And, you know, I've been recruiting for 10 years. I've placed, you know, 2,500 people in jobs. What's going to happen with jobs and AI is going to make our lives so much easier and better. That I think we're going to have this kind of Goldilocks economy that no one's really talking about. I think there's a lot of doom and gloom or what's going to
I see
happen.
the same thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I think what I like what you talked about, what I've heard you mention and speak about in spaces is literally what I tell people because I hear it all the time that AI and or robotics or any of that stuff is taking our jobs and they're just freaked out because they're like, what are we going to do for work? We're not going to be able to work. And I'm like, do you not understand that this is a complete shift in the way the entire world is going to work? We had the Industrial Revolution, and now we're having this technological revolution. And I just felt like it was going to happen. And now, already 4 years later, it's happening. Like, I think 4 years ago, I would see like robots from Boston Robotics. AI wasn't even really a thing very much. Like ChatGPT, I don't think anyone was using it for a while yet. And now we have Grok too and all those other ones. But then you had the Tesla bot back then 4 years ago, and it was just a man in an outfit on stage. And then now
Yeah.
you, right? And doing the dance, and you're like, is that a, no, that's a person. And then now you
it's
have the
funny.
actual robot going around doing stuff, working at the factory. Literally, it's becoming a reality within 4 years. And this is happening so fast that people aren't understanding. Like I use ChatGPT or Grok more. I don't even Google anymore. Like I only use those and they're amazing. And I mean, it's such a helpful tool. Even my recording software that I'm using right now, I have like an assistant at all times. Like
Nice.
this thing clips AI clips for me. If I mean, I still, if I have other clips I want to find, I can go through and find them, but it finds some really great moments. It titles things for me. It cuts out chapters. It gives me all this information for my episode with AI. So it's like having your very own assistant to cut out the time that I would take to do that work. It's saving me that extra time so I could do what I enjoy, and I could do these
Yeah,
recordings and post them
exactly.
without doing all that extra side work. So
Exactly.
it gives the humans more time to be creative and use what a human mind is meant to do, to create, but also to take care of ourselves more. Like our lives have
service,
been,
yeah,
we've been it feels like slavery. Like you're working so many hours a week that you don't have time to take care of your family / let alone take care of yourself and actually work out and feel good about yourself and live longer.
And earn a wage that supports that, right?
Yeah.
And I think I agree with so much of what you said, and just for kind of a quick snapshot, like I helped the U.S. Department of Commerce run a study on like the future of work.
Really?
Just because of my background in tech and recruiting.
That's so cool.
And like everything you said is 100% spot on. So what's going to happen is, yes, jobs will be lost, but they will be transformed. And this happens in every kind of cycle. It happened when Henry Ford created the assembly line. It happened when computers came out. You know, computers were going to take everyone's job, and now everyone uses a computer. There will be jobs lost that will be changed. And what you said kind of towards the end is exactly where this is going to go. So instead of us doing manual labor or data labor, digital labor, we're basically taking the Industrial Revolution and the Information Revolution and combining it into the Industrial Information Revolution.
Wow.
And the Digital Industrial Revolution will take care of all the digital labor work that we're doing. And so what does that free us up to do? Get more creative. But also, I think the other thing that isn't talked about a lot, but I know this is where it's going, is, you know, if you're on the phone with the government or AT&T or something, you're on hold for, you know, 20 minutes, or you deal with an AI, that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
But the service industry is going to just massively get a lot of new opportunities for hiring for a few reasons. One, there will be people that are looking for jobs who are in data jobs that don't need to do that. But number two, the cost of producing any product is going to go basically to almost zero, because you can just take your piece of robotics and machinery and then just average it out over millions of products. And so the cost of producing anything will be minimal. So then what can they spend more money on? They can spend more on the service side. How do we take care of our customers? How do we provide better information? How do we just be there to be a voice? Sometimes you just want to be heard as a customer and complain or share your feedback, right? And so I think that's what's going to happen, is we're going to have this great economy that's service and creative based. We're going to have these new tools that we're going to be able to leverage. The cost of products is going to go to zero. And so when your cost of living, you know, is going to drop tremendously, you don't need to make as much fiat money to be, you know, to support your family.
Right.
Because all the things that you need are going to be so much cheaper to deliver. And so we don't need a universal basic income. We just need our expenses to go to zero. And that's kind of my macro point on finances. Don't look at your income, look at your expenses. If your expenses are zero, it doesn't matter what your income is. And you can always save in that environment. And
that's so
what I think,
I think
AI
is
going to do.
That is shifting. That is like, okay, so that's why I like the show calling it the Bitcoin Nova, because you just did one of those right now. So you blew my mind. Like, it's supernova. So it's like, my idea was that technology and robotics would create a boom in labor and production. So when there's a lot more production and labor, that's what the foundation of the economy is. And therefore, prices won't continue to rise. They would stay stable. But what you're saying is it's going to be so massively transformative that instead of, because I thought, okay, that what I, my scenario would lead to a universal basic income because prices would be cheap or stay stable. But what you're saying is that things would get so, like, we would have so much production, labor, supply and demand. You have so much supply that the demand is so way down. So it's like, instead of doing that and giving people a universal basic income, it could be like things are virtually free, you know what I mean? Like very, very cheap, so that, like, you know, you don't have to give people that income. That is insane to me. That is.
Yeah. And a quick example, because again, finance, I love to like prove things out. I don't believe anything without proof. You know, if you look at the cost of TVs, they go down over time, right? And that's technology, that's private, no government involvement. So let's just take one example of food. What is the cost of food? And what goes into that? Well, for most organizations and most supply chains, there's two major costs, right? Energy and people. Mm-hmm. And so if you don't need to pay a person to drive a truck 18 hours a day and be hopped up on cocaine to, you know, make it through those drives, mm-hmm. you've eliminated 50% of the cost of mm-hmm. all food just mm-hmm. around the world. So just as a quick example of what I'm talking about, the cost of people is a lot of the cost that goes into these things.
And not only that, the cost of people that you're paying to employ, but also with our country the way it is, just in America at least, it's our cost of having these employees and paying for their health care, because healthcare is so expensive here. So it's like
pensions, benefits.
Mm-hmm. So you're paying them for, you know, their labor slash all these other things that you need to give benefits for, so they can
and the taxes. You know, they pay the government taxes on employing. They pay that's 30% of an employee. So if you're making $100,000, they're paying the government another 30.
You realize that these taxes that they've been collecting all this time from farmers, from people that give us our food supply, it's like you're taxing these people that are paying all these employees. And that is trickling back down to us to cost us more, when you figure out that the government is spending half the money on stuff that is either made up or stolen or laundered or whatever the heck they're doing with it. And there's no accountability until now.
Yeah. I mean, a quick note on laundering as a side note, you know, I was selling blockchain to major countries, right? Mm-hmm. And like one good example is the country of India wanted to use a solar panel on the top of a car, mm-hmm. drive that car around the city and sell energy to the city and use Bitcoin and blockchain to make the payments. And so I got to hear about a lot of interesting things, but we had one country, which will not be named, that wanted to have blockchain involved with their insurance and their entire insurance industry, right? We need better proof, better transparency, great use case.
Yeah.
We said, oh yeah, we can totally do this. Everyone was on board. And then a month later, it just gets, oh, we can't do it. Something's changed. Come to find out, there's people that are just lining their pockets, right? So the people that are averse to these changes are very high up in this government, and they basically canceled the whole project because mm-hmm. they didn't want transparency. Right. And that's the cool thing about Bitcoin is you're going to see who's for transparency and who's not. And just by that alone, that gives you your transparency.
Right.
And that's the thing that I'm so excited about this, just where we are in the entire world and where mm-hmm. we're going. Everything's going to be more transparent. Mm-hmm. But I think on the job side, you know, people might get scared and say, okay, yeah, we're firing a lot of truckers, but we're going to be able to pay less for the things that we need mm-hmm. and pay more for the things that we want. Right?
Right.
And that's, again, Bitcoin is a choice. How much do you stack versus how much do you spend mm-hmm. is your choice.
Mm-hmm.
How many of those truckers could potentially have learned enough by listening to podcasts in their trucks 18 hours a day mm-hmm. to be a good nutritionist? Are you right. willing to pay for advice? Are you willing to pay for service? Yes, right? And that's the economy. We're going to get into a much more beneficial service-based economy.
Mm-hmm.
And all of these tasks that no one wants to do, no one has to do. Mm-hmm. And you'll pay, you know, the economy will be based on what do I want versus, okay, food and energy have to drive the economy, which is how it is today.
Mm-hmm.
In the future, it's going to be the best service, the best ideas, the best, you know, what are you giving to the community?
Mm-hmm.
Those are where the money's going to be.
Right. Yeah, it's like, and I think that would bring back an age of things that are crafted and created with care, because it's like all these years, you know, people, they get so burnt out. Everything is made cheaper. And I think that'll be continuing to be the case. But there will be people who choose to say, okay, I'm a furniture craftsman. That's my specialty. And if you want to come buy a chair for me, pay me Bitcoin and I'll create you a beautiful chair. Years ago, when things were made with solid wood and things were made with care.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so it's like that.
I've got a cedar wood table and a cedar house. I'm like, I was looking at it yesterday mm-hmm. when I was visiting. I was like, where are these things? They don't exist mm-hmm. right now.
Yeah. And ornate buildings and like things that people did that
beautiful architecture.
Yeah. So it's like those kind of things have gone away. But because it's like humans were needed to fill these roles of all of this expanding economy that there wasn't enough people for. And it's like you've turned into these slaves, but then now you can be free
Right.
again and do this because you choose. It's like, because people aren't going to want to sit around and not work and do nothing. People like to use their minds, they like to use their bodies, we like to use our muscles
Right.
and work out because it's important for you to live a long life and have mental health. It would be a choice, you know, it wouldn't be, you
Exactly, a
know,
choice.
a 9 to 5, you know, type of thing.
And in the two ways Bitcoin's like really going to be driving this, number one, again, going back to kind of blockchain. So blockchain is just a database, right? Companies are all about data. That's how they make, you know, money is better data, better decisions. Well, companies today, their decisions are pretty poorly defined and their data is poorly defined. And so we would go into Fortune 500s and they would say, you know, we've got all this data, but I can only use 30% of it. Or it takes me a month to figure out an real information that I can trust, right? And Bitcoin gives you trust immediately. So it's immediate, transparent, and it doesn't take a month to dissect. And so the way the future of the world will work with business is going to use three technologies, with Bitcoin and blockchain being the center. So the first technology that it was getting talked about a lot more, but I think has fallen behind AI, but actually is the most important one, is IoT devices. So data is useless without some input, right? And this was our biggest challenge in selling blockchain to countries and governments and companies, is we're still relying on the input from your employees. But in the future, your employees will be data sensing devices. So you've got a truck self-driving itself down the highway with sensors telling you exactly where it is and how much it weighs. You don't need physical paper, which is what they use now, to transport. And this is what I help certain governments with, because they're transporting goods across vast oceans and then relying on someone writing on a piece of paper what's in these boats. And I mean, there's your fraud and waste right there. It's just somebody wrote it on a paper. You've got a device that's temperature controlled, weight controlled. You've got sensors all over the place. That's your data input.
Yeah.
Where does that go? That goes on chain. That goes to a verifiable trust. Bitcoin and blockchain is the record of proof. And the nice thing that Bitcoin will be able to do for the first time in history is align the payment to the actual product. Because companies right now have a payments process and they have a supply chain. Bitcoin makes them one chain.
Wow.
The supply chain is your payments chain, because the record is on the chain and the payment happens in the same time.
Ooh, I like that.
And then we bring in AI. And so AI is not the catalyst. AI is the rocket booster. So we've got IoT devices bringing the source data that is the true data. We've got Bitcoin and blockchain layer that can share that in real time in a trusted way across the world. And then AI will just put that on rockets and be able to make as much decisions and be able to define the future with that data, right? So we've got all the trusted data. So now we've got data coming in real time, payment in real time, and a decision in real time. Companies can make so much better decisions and operate in the span of a minute of something that used to take a month. And I can give you, you know, hundreds of examples of how we help companies do that. But the fact that all these technologies are converging at the same time is going to be something that we all, anyone's estimate is underestimating what's going to happen. It's going to be such a tremendous positive shift that I'm so excited. And what I realize about myself is I want to be a part of a good community, because that's the world that we're moving to in the Aquarian cycle, is a distrust of centralized authority and a move to more localized authority. Bitcoin, right? You're making your own localized decisions. And for me, I was so excited to like be parts of Bitcoin communities, because let's make decisions that help us individually as a, you know, a smaller collective, versus trying to build these massive, you know, infrastructure that is not necessary, right? You know, we don't need these things anymore. We need to protect and take care of ourselves and our community. And I think we're going to have the ability, the technology, and the payment systems to do that.
I want to know about more about the Age of Aquarius, because I've studied that too a little bit.
Yeah.
And I thought that I remembered hearing that we were entering the age of Aquarius and what that means, and I kind of am fuzzy on all of it.
I have a finance background, so when I got into astrology, I was very much like, prove it to me.
Mm-hmm.
And the way, for anyone who's out there who's trying to tune out right now, the way to you know, verify and validate astrology is simple.
Uh-huh.
Everything on life, everything on Earth is given life from the sun.
Mm-hmm.
The sun gives us energy. We are here because of the sun.
Mm-hmm.
It is the biggest, closest, you know, massive star planet in our system.
Mm-hmm.
What's the next biggest? The moon. The moon affects, you know, water, the tides, the ocean, women, you know, mm-hmm. energy, intuitive. And these are proven, you know, no one's going to deny these things.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I was learning about this, I'm like, oh, okay, of course all the planets are then going to have some effect,
mm-hmm.
right? They're all smaller planets, smaller effect, but the entire map is a total conglomerate that's very strong, right? So it's all about placement of the map. And so the age of Aquarius is just the cycle that mm-hmm. the planets have all aligned around. And they started measuring it because they can say, okay, all the planets are aligned. This is zero. And
mm-hmm.
we can start counting until the next time they're all aligned.
Mm-hmm.
And it takes about 2,150 years for the larger age of Aquarius.
Really?
And that one, they say we're coming into in the next, you know, 50 years, et cetera. We're at the beginning stages of it. We've okay. been in Pisces. So you see a lot of water and fish and things.
Uh-huh.
But the other one that I've actually, you know, consider just as important is, you know, if you just focus on our, you know, localized solar system, and Pluto was the, you know, outstanding planet farthest out. If you track the cycle of Pluto's, it's going to have a master cycle for all the planets closer to it and stars.
Really?
Pluto is associated with, you know, transformational at a societal level.
Mm-hmm.
And Pluto makes this cycle into different spaces every, you know, 15 to 30 years. And Pluto's going into Aquarius. And this is the one that I think is more important.
Okay.
Having dated an Aquarius for 5 years, I have a good understanding of good, great, and, you know, challenges with Aquarius,
uh-huh.
but it aligns with everything. And going back to my finance background, I don't believe any of this until I see the proof. But here's the proof. If you look up just Aquarian traits,
mm-hmm.
they're very much love to explore new ideas. They're not mm-hmm. afraid of new ideas, right? Bitcoin, big new idea.
Mm-hmm.
They hate authority, right?
Mm-hmm.
They do not like authority. They are very much They have a collective mindset, like they think about the good in the world, but they're also typically like more loner type, but like individualistic. They're not afraid to be themselves. They don't mind. They don't need to go out and be in front of everyone. They can sit and kind of be reserved and be in the shadows and think through things.
Mm-hmm.
And so what are we seeing on a massive scale? We're seeing technologies that are breaking down authorities. We're seeing technologies that are focusing more on collective good but individualized need,
mm-hmm.
where, you know, it's good ideals for the collective, but focused on I'm going to do whatever is best for me, and
mm-hmm.
that's what we all should be doing. And those are all heavy, heavy Aquarian traits.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's just, to me, when I see that we're entering the age of Aquarius for Pluto in the next 20 years, and we've got AI, and we've got Bitcoin, and these things that are breaking down large centralized systems, and we're reverting back to more localized systems,
mm-hmm.
and we're exploring, we're not afraid to try new things. Like, these are my validators,
mm-hmm.
saying, okay, I believe it, we're going to the age of Aquarius. Now, the challenge with that is Aquarians are not afraid of change,
mm-hmm.
revolutionary change. The last time we were in the age of this Pluto Aquarian
mm-hmm.
was when the Spanish, American, and French Revolution all happened in the same 20-year period in the late 1700s. So there's going to be a lot of change. And I, like, my thing is, I was very scared about this, because if you imagine a French or American Revolution now with robots and drones and AI, that can be scary, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, war in this time can be scary. And that's where I think Bitcoin, again, is the foundation.
Mm-hmm.
The revolution is the technology. It's not
Wait.
War.
Yes.
We don't need war to have a revolution.
Oh, I have chills.
Because Bitcoin is taking down IMF right now,
mm-hmm.
right? We don't need war. And that's my hope for the future, is that we do go through the same kind of dramatic change, redrawing the maps, You're already seeing states wanting to break off from each other. These are all things that are validating my theory. Mm-hmm. If we change the technology and the payments, then everything else will happen on its own.
Bitcoin demonetizes wars. For example, the Ukraine-Russia war. If the U.S. hadn't been funding it all these years, it would have ended a long time ago. Exactly. Because once you run out of money, you can't continue fighting. So, but now what's happening, like when you mentioned the money laundering earlier too, and like when you think about what's happening with Doge now and keeping track of where, payments are actually being made and what they're being used for. If there's no track record of exactly what it's being used for, they're going to stop. So it's like, it doesn't allow for these wars to continue anymore. It's almost like, because we're having accountability in government now, they can't just send money wherever they want and fund whatever war they want. You know how people try to fight for territory, for minerals or things that they think that are...
To the victor go the spoils. Yeah.
Yeah.
The minerals, the land, the money, right?
Yes.
Well, what's more scarce than land? Bitcoin.
Right. Yeah.
What's more valuable than money? Bitcoin.
Right.
What do those minerals go to do? They create energy, which powers Bitcoin, right? So it's, to your point, 100% agree.
And that's just such a great point where you think about the Age of Aquarius and you think that you get scared because you're thinking about how it was in the past. But when you flip it over and think that it just means that those were all the old ways of getting things done in transformative times where people had to fight to take what they wanted. But this is the peaceful revolution. And it's a way that, you know, we don't have, we will change, like everything will change and not in the way it used to.
The revolution will be digitized.
Yes. And so you said it was in the 1700s when it was the Pluto Aquarian revolution. So when was
So yeah, it goes about, so you could think about 20 years for every cycle, and there's 12, you know, parts of astrology. So about 240 years ago, right?
Wow.
What was that? That was like 1785, 1780. And that was just all around, you know, the American Revolution had happened, French, Spanish. There was a few others too, like different countries. So it's not a coincidence that all of these revolutions happened at the same time. Mm-hmm. And then again, I backtest it. So this is, any good finance person's going to backtest their theory on, okay, if I think Bitcoin does have a 4-year cycle, let me see the last cycle. Okay, it went up to next. What was the last cycle before Aquarius? Was Capricorn. And what are Capricorns known for? Working their asses off and just doing what's right and being focused on how can I provide the best work and effort. And what did we see the last 15 years? People were glamorizing, you know, the lack of work-life balance, right? Mm-hmm. You still see it on X. If you're not working 80 hours a week, you know, what are you doing with your life? And like, we're all burnt out. Like everyone, if I tell people the traits of a Capricorn, people are going to say, yeah, we're all burnt out. We're all grinding too hard. We've all spent less time with our family than we probably should have. We prioritized the end goal of the product and not, you know, who we are.
Yeah. I love to know about that because people don't realize that, yes, these traits, they are like, I'm a Taurus and I love that I'm a Taurus because Tauruses are bulls. Nice. And they're stubborn. And I like to think of Bitcoin like a bull, like it's stubborn. And it's just like going to do its thing. And also reminds me of the bull run. So I love that. But the Capricorn thing, it's like, so you're saying that when Bitcoin was created, because it's about 16 years old now, right?
2008 was the beginning of the Capricorn age. Yep.
Wow. So it was like, as Bitcoin was growing, you know, this age of people just struggling to survive, working their butts off was taking place. And then it gets to this point where they get burnt out, right? When it's like, okay, now this thing is becoming mainstream, right? As we're entering this age of Aquarius and people are changing because this thing, this revolution is changing and shifting our entire, like, flipping it over.
Right.
And it's like people can actually finally wake up from their burnt out dream of like nightmare, you know, that they've
and throw out all of your preconceived requirements for life, right? That's the big thing of Aquarium, is they don't give a shit what anyone thinks of them.
Yeah.
And they're willing to try anything.
Yeah.
Right. And so I'm a Pisces, so I have a good sense of what's going to happen after the age of Aquarius when we're all older.
Is that the Pisces is intuitive?
Intuitive and just like the explorers, right? Like the downside is like escapism,
mm-hmm.
but the upside is like very intuitive and exploring, right? Mm-hmm. So we're going to have, I feel like that's the enlightenment mm-hmm. is going to come after the revolution, which is natural, right? I think every cycle you've seen that. After the American Revolution, we had this just great period where we created capitalism and, you know, government, democracy, like all these things were created, and we lived through that. And so I think that's what we're looking at now is if you wanted to live in the time of America being created, well, guess what you are, because the map's not going to look the same in 20 years and nothing is going to be the same. But Bitcoin is going to be a key driver of that going forward.
And you said that it would be enlightened, the ones of us that don't look at Bitcoin price anymore, and the group of us who understand Bitcoin and know what it truly is. We already feel like we've reached that level of enlightenment when it comes to it, because it's like everything else is just noise.
Exactly.
So it's like, I think just, yeah, once people start to really just see what's happening, there's just going to be a shift where more people reach that point, you know, there's no, you can't deny it.
Going into the time of community, right? So we're everything goes in cycles. Mm-hmm. Financial markets, companies, right? You get banks that centralize and break apart. Every government mm-hmm. rips them apart. You get monopolies of oil, then you mm-hmm. rip them apart. We're going through cycles now where we've had large centralized governments, World Economic Forum, that's all going to be ripped apart. And so now it's really about choosing your community.
Right.
Because if you choose the community of war and violence or et cetera, you know, that's what you're going to get.
Mm-hmm.
When I realized I needed to like basically choose a tribe, I was so pumped, because I was just literally, as I made that realization, all of our groups on X were being created. Like we were connecting with each other, and I was like, I don't need to choose a tribe. Like my tribe found me, like it's already naturally happening. But we are all Americans now, and we'll, you know, we'll be Americans, but the value is going to be more closer to home, right? Mm-hmm. States' rights, community rights. Are you going to know your neighbors better? Are you going to, you know, what are your hobbies that you're choosing to be involved with? And to me, Bitcoin is just the best one, you know, and I feel like our community is just going to thrive, mm-hmm. you know, the next 20 years, because it's so interesting learning from everyone in the group. I wasn't able to be in some of the chats recently, and I just happened to click through yesterday, found a video post about hermetic principles.
Oh, yeah.
Listened to that for 2 hours, and it just blew my mind mm-hmm. of all these things where partly I knew and some of it I had no idea. The community we're in is tremendous. And like I think it says a lot about Bitcoin is that it brings these types of people together.
We're a blockchain. So it's like our transactions with each other, it's like you're, and we feel like we're missing pieces. Like once we, like he filled in a gap for you, he like completed that block for you. These transactions are meaningful because they're our time. Like we're spending our time in this community choice. And it's our choice. And time is money, and time is Bitcoin. You're choosing to spend that currency, you know, every time you transact with another person. It's like you have a real friend out there.
Yeah. And I mean, it's going back to Bitcoin being the foundation. It's amazing because we are all so different, right? Like mm-hmm. I love listening to Morrow and like Killer and Jeeves and you and Michelle. And it's like mm-hmm. everyone, we're all different. Like some people work in tech or finance or piano or, mm-hmm. you know, physics. And, you know, we're all over the map. But the foundational value that we all share is Bitcoin is, you know, going to basically create a better future mm-hmm. for myself and my family. And it's like dating, right? You don't need to date somebody or marry somebody because they're exact same as you, but you have to share the values.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that we all have Bitcoin in common and just in different ways shaping our lives, I think creates such a strong, unbreakable
connection.
It's like
a family. It's like, you know, like you said, the family has values and traditions and like stuff like that. So it's like, you have roots, you know, and our community has roots in that way. So it's like a huge, strong foundation. So many of us feel like, how cool would it be just to be able to have like a more Bitcoin world? Like it's, you're going to see that happen around the world anyway. You're going to see that happening in your own cities where it's like, hey, there's, I don't know, like Bitcoin communities. It's just, I could picture that.
Yeah.
Even, you know, how they say it takes a village, like when you raise kids, you know,
exactly.
and you have your family, but so many people, their families are, you know, spread out around everywhere. But like when you want to raise your kids in a community and you say, oh, this community, instead of just choosing which one has the best schools, because that's how we chose our home. We wanted to have a good area in our town that has a really good schools to raise our kids in. But it's like, I feel like the future will just be like, hey, I want to raise my kids in this Bitcoin community.
100%, and I'm so glad you said that because it just started like sparking things in my mind. And like one of them is like I'm so passionate about education. I love learning. I think education can free anyone from anything. And but the future world, like Bitcoin is more valuable than land, and I think the real world is going to change, right? When you talk about, oh, I hope we have these Bitcoin real world meetups, but I think what we're doing now is almost more valuable because it's instantaneous. It requires no effort to for us to connect. And so yes, you know, meeting in real world and doing the real world things will be great, but as we go into this age of industrial information, the real world is online. And I think we're like breaking ground. Like I imagine us, we're already settling lands online, right? We're already settling the frontier on X with our community. And I still value in person, obviously, but it's like it's not going to be as important for us to all go to, you know, Bitcoin conference or et cetera, because we've already created the land. And we're doing that by nature of our shared values. And like many of my family, you know, don't understand Bitcoin. And I'm realizing that, you know, if I had to choose who's raising my kids, and this is what sparked in my mind, I would rather the Bitcoin group that we're in. Like if I had to choose and something happened to me and I said, hey, can someone help, you know, homeschool my kids? I would rather this group than like, you know, people around here, some of my family. And I think there's actually a future in which that can happen,
That's great.
because I was thinking about, you know, we're going to have kids soon. And do I want my kids in public education? No. If I had $1 billion, would I change education? Yes, that would be the first thing I do. And why don't we just create our own homeschool community of, hey, I can teach kids finance. I mean, we can all teach them finance now because of Bitcoin, but like I can teach financial principles of saving versus investing and how to value in things if we even need that in the future, right? Like, and then we've got all these other people who, you know, doctors can teach about farming. And so it's like we probably have a better schooling community in our group, in our chats right now than anyone would ever get in any kind of public system. And you just sparked that in my mind, and it's something I want to follow up on as, you know.
I feel like we're having this mind-blowing experience because, you know, so many Bitcoiners already like to homeschool their kids. It is hard, you know, especially in the world we're living in now because we still have
Totally.
to fiat mine. We still have to go to work. You have to be able to have one solid income that provides enough for one parent to stay home and do the homeschooling. But if you let's say this future where there are these Bitcoin communities popping up, and I could live in this place where the kids all have the same values and ideals. You know, and we have enough people to teach them, especially when it comes to the changing shift in the landscape of the future of work. You're not going to need to have a lot of these jobs that you think you need these degrees. You're going to need to just know how to be a human being, critical thinking and creative mindset, any kind of useful skill.
You can
And
ask ChatGPT anything you want to know about biology.
You could like self-teach. You could be like, what are my interests? What like my kids do that a lot already, especially my middle son.
That's awesome.
He's a very curious about the world, and he's always telling me the most random facts that he learned, and he'll share a video with me about
Nice.
things he learned. And he just loves to ask like how much water is there on Earth? You know, he just wants to know stuff, like the most random things. Like he's so curious about space, and he reminds me of me because he wants to know how everything works. And he's just, it's like when you have that curiosity, you just want to know things around you. Like, how do they work? This is crazy. I think a lot of kids, they just want to know real stuff. And I think that the stuff they teach them in schools now is boring.
It's
Learn.
Capricorn minded. It is how can you make as much money as you can? Where an Aquarius minded school would say, I'm curious and I want to learn something completely new.
And that would keep them excited to learn, you know? And that's what my husband was saying about the teaching too. Like being active, being physical, eating healthy food, like teaching that there's
Totally,
new
yeah.
nutrients in food that comes from the earth.
Activity's so important. They're like
Activity.
sitting down for 8 hours a day when they're should be the most active
And
in
it's
their
like it's
life.
so human to move and to be active and to do things. And you know, PE is so important. I think people just think, yeah, no, sit down in the desk for that many hours and barely move around. It's not a good way to teach them. And even Christian, my middle one, that the one that's curious about everything, he even sent me a video showing how everything has changed so much in the last 100 years. Like schools have literally not changed. It's like kids sitting in a desk raising their
So
hand.
that goes back to my point of centralization, right? In Bitcoin. Bitcoin can move quicker than payment systems. Centralized education is a thing of the past.
Mm-hmm.
It takes 10 years to propose and make a change. Well, guess what happened 12 years ago, right? Mm-hmm. If you ask kids today, what is the number one job they want to be when they grow up? Do you know what they say? I just saw this survey.
No.
Influencer.
Yep.
That job didn't exist 10 years ago. Right. So if you're worrying about your job not existing, don't worry. There's going to be new ones in 10 years. And guess what? The kids are moving quicker than the systems.
Right.
Because influencer is a real job. It's mm-hmm. creative. It makes money. And people are making careers out of that. So I'm a big believer that when you're born, you're the closest to God or creation or the universal energy that you'll ever be. And we need to be listening to the kids.
Yeah.
We need to be piquing their curiosity. And that's my passion around education is not we're going to tell you what to learn. You tell us what you want to learn and we're going to give you the tools.
Oh, that's so amazing. I love that because it's true. They do say you have to be like, because children are not just their innocence, but their freedom and they don't have these rules yet. Like they want to know about stuff and you should listen right. to them. And yeah, to give them the tools to make them, because that's truly what they're passionate about, what they care about. And you're helping shape that, that confidence too in them, you know, to be like, hey, instead of telling you it's wrong,
yes.
like what you want to think is wrong, you should be thinking this instead. Don't waste your time thinking that stuff. It's like, why don't you just like, be like, yeah, what you're thinking is great. They should be confident to build that up.
Yeah. I mean, I had ADD and they're like, oh, he needs pills. He's too
you
active.
Too?
It's like, no, I was fucking bored. I was out of my mind bored. I would finish a test in 5 minutes and then make fun of other people or make jokes in the class
yeah, you
while I was in there. And it's like, no, give me something entertaining and like things that are going to challenge me. And mm-hmm. I think that, you know, I have so much to, like, we could do a whole other podcast on education, I feel yeah. like, because that's my biggest passion. But uh-huh. everything you said, I think is 100% accurate. I mean, they need to be, the first step in education is not, I mean, yes, they need to learn to read and write mm-hmm. and talk and speak. But then it's step one, find your passion. How do we create an education system that helps people find what they're passionate about?
Mm-hmm.
Because the saddest thing to me is somebody who goes through their whole life and never discovers their purpose or their identity or what they're good at.
Mm-hmm.
And that happens so much. And then people don't know why they're depressed.
Right.
So once you find your passion, then it's, okay, let's have a system that helps you build on the passion. And then step three is, all right, you've got this passion, you've got this skill set. How does that support the community, mm-hmm. yourself, your family? How do you want to, live in our society with that knowledge and skill set? And to me, I think we're gonna see that. Like everything's lining up with technology, with Aquarian, with just people are just fed up with the BS. Things are moving faster than that's another mm-hmm. financial thing is you look at the markets in 1920, they go up 5 points a day
mm-hmm.
and now they go up 500 points a day. It's like everything's gonna speed up.
Yeah.
And without technology, without Bitcoin payments speed, we would not be able to keep things would collapse if we didn't have mm-hmm. If we didn't have AI or Bitcoin, the speed of what of information would destroy the world.
Yeah.
And so mm-hmm. everything to me that we talk about like Bitcoin, it's inevitable. It mm-hmm. had to happen when it happened. It's all happening at the same time for the right reason. And I feel just blessed because I've been able to look at it through different lenses. And also, financially, I'm in a place where I'm not stressed and mm-hmm. I can take the time to plan out my life. Like mm-hmm. my father never had that luxury. He told me the story of having $1 to his name when he's 24. And luckily the owner of the restaurant let him keep his dollar that he was last dollar to spend for his meal. And he put me in a place where I never have to focus on that. And, our grandparents, if you look in most pictures of the 50s, 60s, 30s, no one's smiling. They're just trying to survive.
Right.
And we have a system that was built from that.
Right.
So all of this system is we need to survive. We need to survive. We need
yeah.
to survive. Well,
like fight or
technology
flight,
and information. Yeah. And like, we're just not there anymore. We're not in that system. So why are we using that system to drive us forward?
Right.
We need to be taking stock of where we are now and what's going to drive us forward from today.
That's so true. It's like back then you needed human labor to grow the world. You needed humans to work in factories, to build up everybody needed to do the things they did to build the world the way it was today and to grow the Industrial Revolution, to grow things the way they did. And everything needed to happen in order to get where we are today. But it's true. It's like these systems, it felt like you had to work so hard, and you had to do this like robotic work that was draining to the human soul, you know, and you had to do that because it was the way you would feed your family, and you needed to save money for their future so they wouldn't have to stand there like your father did for you with the way he was with his $1. You wanted to have a better life for your kids, and it was more possible back then when you worked like a dog to be able to save money for your kids' future. But nowadays, when you think, if you don't have kids yet, and you think about having kids, and you see the way things are today, if you didn't know about Bitcoin, you would second guess having kids, because it would really be scary to think, how am I going to provide for them? What are they going to have? How will they ever buy a house? When I had kids, I was like, this is what the next step, like, you get married, you know, you love each other, you have kids, that's what you do. And I'm happy, you know, but if at the same time, I didn't know about Bitcoin only until about 4 years ago. And when I saw what started happening, as time went on, especially when COVID hit too, and life has never been the same since, but even I realized it happened long before that. So I just feel like, knowing the things that I started to find out, I was thinking, like, how would people, if they didn't find out and then find Bitcoin, you would really be afraid to bring kids into this world, you know, because I feel like you would just already worried about keeping yourself afloat, you know? So it's like, you worry about how would you have a family, you know?
Yeah, well, you can't. I mean, that's why we're seeing the birth rates so low in a lot of countries. And it's really just sad, because that's the most beautiful, you know, powerful thing that we can do. That's how the universe survives. The universe is ever expanding at an accelerating rate. Mm-hmm. And the way to expand and grow is to, you know, multiply, right? And like, that's the thing that I hope that we can get to a place of, you know, we've got billions of people still hungry, but we've also got billions of people that are overweight, right? Yeah. What kind of like duality is that, that we have more people that have overweight and obesity issues than hunger? So if you have the technology to solve that, there's a clear math equation that finance people love would say, all right, we got half the world that needs to lose 50 pounds and half the world that needs to gain 50 pounds. Let's just rearrange that 50 on the side of the equation.
People get sicker and more overweight because of all the filler and corporation and the greed to make things cheaper and last longer and be on the shelves longer. And so, and more addictive, you know, they make this food on purpose more addictive. If it was just more natural food without additives and things,
if we got to choose, right? Yeah, we don't have choice.
No, like,
you're going to buy whatever's in your grocery unless you're lucky enough to be, know somebody or grow your own food. Right. And we didn't have a choice.
That's another thing I like about how, hopefully with, you know, Robert Kennedy being in office, he'll actually make some of these changes.
Yeah, I think that's the biggest challenge and why we haven't heard as much from him, because you have to break down not just one system, but a lot, right? Like doctors, you know, pharmaceutical, the farming industry, like farmers, you know, then you have the supply chain, you have grocery industries. So that to me is going to be the hardest thing to do. But if we look at Bitcoin as the example, you don't try to tear something down. Mm-hmm. Bitcoin did not try to tear the financial system down.
Right.
What did Bitcoin do? It just said, we're going to create our own thing. Mm-hmm. And if you want to join us too.
Right.
You know, the fort is always open. You know, we welcome it, all those who believe with us.
Right.
And I think that's the way forward on the health side is, again, like you said, if we just start in our communities, grow our own food, say no to these things. If no one goes to McDonald's, guess what? McDonald's disappears.
Right.
But advertising works. They've got the best ads and money, you know, that you can buy for it. Right. So, but Bitcoin, again, is so foundational and so prophetic in that way that it tore down the toughest, longest standing institutions in the world by not tearing them down, by just focusing on
giving people
a choice. Let's start from zero.
I think
giving people, we don't have to build from the ground we're given. Let's build, and you have your choice. Like, what do people choose on their own without incentive?
And I think when you give people I think the people that are stuck in this slavery mindset where they're working 80 hours a week and they don't have any time, or even if, their parents and they're burnt out because they have no time to do anything. I think when you break out of that world with the advances in AI and robotics and we change into this whole new future, it's like you'll have people who can actually, for the first time, wake up and say, oh, maybe I will make a healthy choice today because now my life isn't just me just trying to live another day and get by another day and like feeling like they're living in this fog of depression. It's like people just kind of are like the, just doing what they have to do to survive, like those old pictures you said where the people aren't smiling. So
And
it's
we
like,
have time now. Fruits and vegetables are not that much more expensive, right? Like, and they can be cheaper than some of these things, but you get ready-made quick meals because you have no time. And,
Yeah, you don't have time to
I'm gonna
cook and
drive through.
prepare, and people used to like hang out as a family and cook together and like talk and everything, and it's like husbands and wives, like me and my husband cook together and I love it.
It's
he loves
so,
to cook. But yeah, we like to, it's like our little, our hangout time too. We do it at the same time, we help each other. But I think a lot of times, yeah, it's like, well, I've been working all day. I'm not going to do that. Like, who wants to go grocery shopping now? And who wants to actually spend time cooking and then doing all the dishes? So when you work too much and then you feel like you're doing all that, then even if you wanted to see your kids for after, afterwards, you're like, okay, well, I'm burned out. I'm exhausted. I just want to sit down. And, it's like you don't have, it takes away so much from your quality time with people. This life, this working too much, and burning everybody out. So it's like I do feel like it's so exciting because so many people don't see it, and it's so sad because when you see it, you have hope and you're excited and you wish your family would see it. Just like how you said, you don't know a lot of people in real life, and but that's what makes us happy that we can like we don't feel like we're the only person in the world seeing it. Like besides the few big Bitcoin accounts that we used to follow, it's like it
It
was
was so
always.
eye-opening when I not just the Bitcoin things, but when we start talking about other things in life, it's like, whoa, I agree on so many levels with these people that I just met, right? It's like that was to me really mind-blowing. It was not just that it wasn't just the people trying to get rich or whatever. It was, hey, we have a fundamental viewing on life, and there's a large community out there just like me, but you're not hearing it because it's not on TV, it's not backed by the government. And where are you getting your data from if not from TV, schools, doctors, and government? And those have all been co-opted. It's no coincidence that all of your authority figures of information have been co-opted by government. And yes, capitalism has challenges with monopolies and things, but in a purely capitalist environment, you're getting your information from what's the best available option to me and choices. And I think it's just no coincidence that the government has inserted itself into all the key information areas, but they don't insert themselves into electronics because your electronics not going to change your life, but your doctor, your school teacher, your all these are going to impact you. And so I'm very excited for this breakdown that's going to happen, and I think it's going to happen the same way that Bitcoin happened, is communities are just going to pop up and they're going to say, you know what? My state doesn't want to agree with everything America wants to do. Or my half of Oregon doesn't want to be on this side of Oregon, or Bitcoin community, you can't tell us what to do because we're financially independent. We're self-sufficient. We're going to take care of ourselves. We have food. We have everything we need. So we don't have to answer to anybody. And that's the thing, is like when you have that support, then you can make those choices. So it's just getting there that's going to be, how do we get everyone to that place?
Well, I think that also what you said, I like that you said it twice now, I think at least, is that you said it's no coincidence. And I love that because I always say that there are no coincidences. I do believe in fate, and I do think that it is it I always think about this, how things are converging at this point. Things are coming together just like how it's coming together with the Age of Aquarius, just like how it's happening with just Bitcoin becoming mainstream at the time where now these institutions that tried to hurt the market before in the past so they could get their chance to get the foot in the door also before things could really take off. All these things, including our communities growing when they did, people finding each other when they did. people starting to share their voices, like you coming on here talking, people speaking in spaces, you know, the Bitcoin army growing, Michelle and AA and, you know, everybody that's having these awesome communities that are, you know, the Smash by Saturdays, just people love it. You know, oh, people love to say, oh, no matter the price I'm buying, you know, who cares? You know, that's just giving people, like people that don't know yet, it's a cool thing because they're like, should I buy it today? Should I buy it tomorrow? It's like, just buy it whenever, you know, just stop worrying about it.
Yeah.
So I mean, like,
anyone who's been in for any cycle, it's just like, there's never a bad time to buy.
Yeah. You realize that like every time you ever bought, even including the first time you ever bought it, you always thought it was, oh, am I stupid for buying at this price? So you always think that, but you don't realize yet that it's, you know, ever increasing because of the limited supply. But I think that at the time, the coincidence, again, not a coincidence that this is all happening. Everyone's learning to speak up. Everyone's learning to gain that confidence to say, you know what, we know enough. We've been around this forever. We have so much knowledge. Why not share it? And even for not just my podcast, but other podcasts that are starting to spring up too out of our communities, it's like, you know, and I've said it before, but I'm doing it because of all of you guys, because you guys have supported me. This wouldn't have happened without support. So I'm grateful for that. And I just feel like the fact that this is just happening when it did is, it's not something I planned. It's not something that I chose the right time. Say, this is the right time for me because I chose it. It's because it started with the first person, Paula, who asked me to be on her Bitcoin Edge podcast. And just doing that was, she sparked that because she saw our communities growing and she wanted to ask me to be on her show. And then I had the courage to do that because of all of you and the support of my husband. So I did. And then I went on Robin Sayer and then, you know, people were asking me to do my own and I'm doing it. It's not something that, again, it felt like it was natural. Like it just happened, you know, it's not something that was. So when I think back to like all of it, you know, even our communities coming together and this just happening, it's not something. It was just a natural thing, like how Bitcoin grew in a natural way. It wasn't something forced. It wasn't something.
So that's the, so you're hitting on so many awesome points because, you know, that's the thing that when manifesting and like creating my own life started working out for me is when you try to force something, it's never going to work out. Mm-hmm. But what I realized is that if you keep your eyes open and your ears open and your brain open and looking for things that you want, you'll see it all over the place. Mm-hmm. And then it will feel natural. And the reason it feels natural is because you're doing the right thing in essence. Like, and I'm so grateful for Paul and those who brought you to the podcast because I think this is great. You've got good people, you know, that I've already listened to a few that are awesome. You've got more coming up and I think you're helping drive a lot of growth in the community with this and just information sharing, but it feels natural because we're all one energy, right? And if it doesn't feel natural, that means something's off, right? Like some, you know, the technology wasn't ready for Bitcoin, so it didn't feel natural. Cryptography in the 70s or 80s, or blockchain in newspapers in the 90s, or peer-to-peer in the late 90s, like it didn't feel natural. But then Bitcoin, you know, there was no forcing around it. He dropped it and people, you know, joined, right? And like, I think the same thing with your podcast and the community, if it feels natural, it's going to have a lot longer impact because it's touching into that universal energy.
Yeah.
And we're all connected. And the reason it feels natural is you're getting a reflection of yourself and the universe is seeing itself in you. And that's the cool thing about, you know, that natural feeling is like, what is that? Well, it's a home, right? Like that is home because it's literally you.
Wow.
And it's so cool to that you kind of said that because I've been thinking about that as well a lot for just our community, especially. It just, it's amazing how it happened.
I think that, because I always think that too. I mean, it's bringing us together. The fear also was one part because when I asked my husband about it, even though I had all the support from you guys and I was like, okay, you know, I should do this because I want you guys to speak up. And this is why I'm so happy that so many of you want to join me and speak. Look at everything you've said today. It's truly like eye-opening and, you know, goosebumps and everything. It's just like so amazing. But I had to get over that fear. And I think fear holds people back from seeing. Like when you said, you have to have your eyes open and your ears open to see and manifest. And you could be having this positive outlook on life and thinking, I'm going to manifest things and they're going to come to me. But if you are not paying attention, like when Paula reached out to me, if my fear got in the way and I just said, oh no, I don't know if I should do that. And if I didn't go and ask my husband because I was hesitating on telling him about, I'm like, should I even say it? So I told him, and he's like, yeah, of course you should do it. You know, you talk to us about Bitcoin all the time. He's like, you'll be fine. So he had no reservations about it. So I'm like, all right, if he says it, then I guess it should be something I should do. But I needed that support from my other mirrors, my other perceptions around me, like for everyone to kind of help say, yes, this is good. We want to see it, you know? And
yeah, I feel like you learn so much about yourself by asking those closest to you because they see you for who you are.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have your perception of yourself. You have your perception that you, you know, put out, but you can't view yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the fact that you say you ask everyone, and I think I feel like fear is telling you something. Anytime you're afraid, it's like, why, right? Mm-hmm. Is my life threatened? Okay, that's a certain kind of fear. Right. But if there's something else you're afraid of, then that means you're afraid of because you're standing on a cliff, right? Mm-hmm. Something's going to happen. And so I've been trying lately to like focus on the fear. Like what is making me afraid? And like, how do I go in that direction in essence? Because there's a reason that it's making you afraid.
And I feel like that's what I kind of, just like what you're saying is literally like, I feel like we think so much alike, because when I actually did ask him and he did say to go ahead and do it, and I had a little bit of that fear in the back of my mind. I thought, you know what? I am a Bitcoiner. You know, I'm mm-hmm. not just a new Bitcoiner. I've been through a huge cycle where it was a lot that I learned, and it was a lot of ups and downs and a lot of time to learn that patience and conviction and everything. And I feel like Bitcoin people get tough because you have to go through this and you have to deal with, you know, looking at yourself, realizing, am I wrong? Do I really, you know, understand what is going on right now? And then you get like how they say, like, pressure makes a diamond, you know, type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So we have been under such immense pressure, you know, more and more the longer you've been in this, but I feel like it has you step back, drop your ego, you know, and that takes a lot of looking at yourself in pain, and until you just get to the point where you feel like that enlightened way. So I just think that that when I asked myself, what am I actually afraid of? I'm like, I'm really not afraid of anything. So, you know, like, why?
What is it? Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not scared. I don't care what people think about me. I don't care. I'm not worried about what I'm going to say. Like, so what am I afraid of? I'm not afraid of anything. So I just figured then
it's a heightening of the senses, right? So it's the fear is not, it's not there to make you run away. It's there to sharpen you, right? Mm-hmm. And like I've seen a lot of people try to start podcasts from the ground up, and I think you've done it in a tremendous way. It's very well put together. You've got a great group of people, a lot of good, interesting topics. Like, mm-hmm. I think you have a great approach, and I think that's what the fear does, right? It's like, okay, I need to be on my A game and like put my full effort into this. And I think that's what I've tried to flip fear on its head and say, all right, it's just a tool for sharpening, you know, my sword.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love to think about it that way. Anytime you think of fear in the future, just think of it as fuel, you know? And I think that we have to take those risks, like even when people think Bitcoin is risky, but it's like, it's risky not to have Bitcoin. You know what I mean? It's like, that's the risk, you know? So it's like,
those are my favorite posts. It's like, it's risky to spend 40 years of your life doing something you don't love, to buy things you don't need,
mm-hmm.
because someone told you to, right? It's like, that's risky.
That's crazy. I love this. This is so amazing. I had such a great time talking to you. I feel like we could definitely have an entire other episode about education and community, because and I love all the metaphysical stuff and, you know, the shifts in the astrological stuff and just the convergence of all things. It's like, we've had such an amazing talk. You know, definitely would like to have you back on whenever you'd like, because this is, you know, so eye-opening and such an easy conversation. And that's what I love. I love to talk just like we're just hanging out chatting, you know? So
Oh my gosh. I mean, I just want to say this was awesome for me, and I'm happy to come back anytime. And yeah, I mean, besides Bitcoin, education is certainly a big passion of mine. I'm so glad we just back into that in the our conversation. But no, I just thank you for having me on. I'm excited to see how your podcast, grows and evolve and, creates a life of its own, and
Thank
happy
you.
to be a part of it today. And I think the way you go about just having the conversations, letting it flow, and that's the natural way to, I feel like let, what is real come out. And I was really excited about our conversation today, and looking forward to many more offline, and appreciate you having me on.
Yes, thank you so much. I will see you on X. Thank you again.
Yeah, see you all next.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye.